Auburn possibly looking to take another edge in the portal? And who's going to coach them?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Tuesday. It's basketball game day, but we're not going to talk about basketball quite yet. We got a basketball hoops podcast dropping a little bit later, so definitely tune in for that one as we preview the Texas game and talk about everything that's happened this weekend. But no, we're still talking about the portal in Auburn. A note came out yesterday. There's mutual interest from a very surprising position that I thought Auburn might be finished with. And then who's actually going to coach these guys? Who's actually going to coach these the edges, the pass rushers? We'll talk about that too. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a 50% deposit bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you 50 back in free play on top of it to play with. Stack that up. Take the free play. It's risk-free. Win big. Then take it over to the sports book and have some fun. College basketball every single night. NBA every single night, it seems like. There's tons of stuff. Tons of stuff to do. Tons of lines to jump on. And you can bet them any way you like. Check it out. It's mybookie.ag. So, yes, after the addition of Chris Murray, I thought Auburn was finished at edge, and they still could be, but it looks like there may be mutual interest from a former five-star Georgia player, Damon Wilson II, not junior, Damon Wilson II. So, again, former five-star from Venice High School in South Florida. Does that name, that high school sound familiar? Because there's an Auburn legend that came from Venice High School, and I'm talking about the one and only Trey Smith, the little engine that could, that took over the Iron Bowl, I believe, in, what was it, 2001 or something, or maybe it was 2002. Well, yeah, I think it was 2002. He started, I think, the run of the six in a row. So I think that's a kind of a neat a neat connection there. Yeah, so again, I thought Auburn was finished with edge. They may not quite be finished. There seems to be some mutual interest, and he's not officially in the portal yet. So for that report to come out, this is not – I mean, this is multiple places reporting this. I think you got Phillip Dukes that mentioned there's mutual interest. There's some Georgia folks that have sort of written him off already as going to Auburn, which is very interesting. Typically – when you hear that, that's a good thing. When you hear that there's mutual interest before the person's officially in the portal, that's typically good news, because what that means is the kid can't be talking to us, obviously, because that'd be tampering. But the representation clearly is talking to someone at Auburn, and they don't typically do that unless, you know, they're reaching out to places that they're interested in going and playing. So, man, all of a sudden – you know, all of a sudden you got a big possibility at a number of talented kids in that edge room, which would be exciting. This kid's got another 2-year guy. He's got 2 years of eligibility. So you got Chris Murray that's got 2 years of eligibility. Now you could possibly have this guy that has 2 years of eligibility. This is what good schools do. This is what the schools that want to be great do. First off, when I heard the interest, I was like, man, is this too many edges? You know, we already have all these young guys, and then you have Kieron Crawford, and then you have Chris Murray. Now you're bringing in another one. Is that too many? Is someone going to leave? And is that going to make somebody want to leave in spring? And it may. But the thing is, when schools want to be great, when schools want to be, you know, big time, you just bring in the best you can every single year. Every single opportunity you have that you can upgrade, you do it. And I'll be honest, this guy could possibly push even Kieron Crawford for starting time. He's legit. He had limited appearances for Georgia, but every time he did appear, he made big plays. And it wasn't in like the scrappy garbage games. It was, hey, a sack against Texas the first time on the road, a sack against Texas in the SEC championship, a sack against Tennessee when everybody thought, hey, Tennessee is hot. They're number seven in the country. They could upset Georgia. Every time he went in, he made big plays in very, very limited appearances. So this was their guy. This was their guy that was going to be, you know, as good as that Georgia defense is year in and year out, this was their guy that was going to be their starter. He was going to move in and be the guy moving forward in 2025. So you'd love to know what happened there as far as why he decided to leave. But I said that if there was another player at either of those positions, it would have to be a unicorn for Auburn to be interested. And I think this kid may fit the definition of a unicorn. So again, this is what big schools do. This is what schools do when they want to win. They stack the best talent that they possibly can. 6'4", 250. Again, from Venice High School, that's, you know, south-ish Florida. I think it's between like Tampa and Fort Myers on that west side of the Florida Peninsula. It's always good to be, you know, have a little bit of a footprint in South Florida. You get, you know, there's tons of good athletes down there. And I know that those Florida schools are recruiting at a pretty high level right now. So sometimes it's hard to get those guys out of there. So anytime you can get one, especially from, you know, Venice, you got a little bit of a connection there. It's always a good thing. Funny story about Venice. This is kind of a complete sidebar, but I spent a little bit of my life in the Panhandle. I lived in the Panhandle for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Went to a little high school. Well, it's a little high school. It was a huge high school in Lynn Haven, Florida for 2 years, freshman and sophomore year. Freshman year, not many freshmen played on the varsity football team because it's such a big school, but we were playing Venice High School. And we had never seen Trey Smith because obviously recruiting wasn't like it was today, where you see pictures, you see videos, you see all kinds of stuff. This was way back in like 2003, I guess, or maybe 2002. I can't remember exactly when it was, but regardless, I think he was a junior, actually. That's what it was. He was a junior when he came in, and we had heard that he had Auburn interest. And me, I went to the game, and I'm expecting to see, you know, you hear four-star running back from South Florida. You're like, man, this kid's going to be huge, massive, whatever. And you're asking, where is this guy? Where's this guy? They come out on the field, where's this guy? And they point over to number five over there, and you're like, that's him? That's him? He's like 180 pounds, little white guy. What's so great about him? And then he commits to run for 280 yards. And I think we went out on the field and we won. Somehow our school won that game. He's, you know, go out and talk to him at midfield and obviously told him War Eagle and stuff like that. And then he ended up being an Auburn Tiger. So really cool story. But regardless, Venice High School got a little bit of connection there. So that'd be kind of fun to add him. I wonder how fast this is going to move. Because typically when there's interest like this, once the paperwork's official and they're in the portal, you're going to see a visit scheduled, and then you should see a subsequent commitment shortly thereafter. So would be fun. I'd be curious to see what you would do with guys like Joseph Phillips, who you had ideas of possibly moonlighting or moving even to linebacker, maybe even the middle linebacker. That was something that was talked about. I think that's what Georgia initially wanted him to play at Georgia. So is that something you do spring? If you bring this guy in, spring is going to be big for a lot of reasons. It's going to be big to really shake out the depth chart. It's going to be big for a lot of these young guys to figure out where they land on the depth chart. It's going to be big to experiment and move around. So you bring this guy in, yes, you got a ton of edges, but there's so many different possibilities. So I'm excited to see what happens on. I'm excited to see what happens with this guy. And I think what we have to make sure we do is we don't get in this scenario where the mindset that I had was, man, what about all the young guys? Well, that's what I was railing on. You know, that's what I've been railing on before. You got to bring in the best guys every single year, every single a chance you can. You got to upgrade talent if you can. And this guy would be a significant upgrade. So that's all you're worried about. You upgrade and then you figure the rest out. They can't go anywhere right now. You figure out what you got to do in spring. You figure out how it's going to shake out all in spring and then move forward from there. That's the way college football is today. Don't get attached. Don't get too attached and upgrade every chance you get. That's the game. That's the game we're playing right now. And this would be a huge upgrade to that room for sure. So we'll see what happens there. Who's going to coach them? Who's going to coach the edges? Not really been a ton of movement there at all. So what's going on there? We'll talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Get your custom portfolio analysis. Absolutely free. It's a $1,500 value. I know Ford Stokes is fired up about the portal. I know he's fired up about basketball, already planning his A-Day trip. So, hey, if you're in Auburn, you want to meet Ford, you got a chance to do that as well. So make sure you're on the right path. Make sure you got everything in order. Give him a shout. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Who's going to coach these guys? Who's going to be the edge coach? That's one position that's sort of been quiet for a while. You promoted TJ Rushing. We thought maybe he may moonlight over as the edge coach because, hey, you lost a coach and you add a coach. Clearly, that coach is going to coach that position. But no, we saw the very next day, Charles Kelly took the head coaching job at Jacksonville State. TJ Rushing naturally slides into that position, which is his natural position to coach anyway. So that still leaves an open door at outside linebacker. There was some talk about Tanner Burns possibly being promoted. That's obviously not the case. He's not going to be promoted into that recruiting role that one of those, whatever it is, 10 or 11 coaches that get to go out on the road recruiting. So Auburn's still looking for an edge coach, but there hasn't really been a lot of smoke really anywhere as far as what Auburn's going to do there. So the time it used to, it was pretty clear that after signing day, that was when a lot of coaching changes happened. After signing day was over, tons of coaching changes happened. And usually that was after when the signing day was in February. Now you have two signing days. You have a portal period. There's really no good time. I feel like everybody's still trying to figure out what's the best time to transition or what's the best time to hire and fire, what's the best time to do all of those moves. And it's been, I think you're still trying to figure that out. So you haven't really hit that sweet spot of understanding or knowing when you go looking or when you go bring in for interviews and things like that. That's just because you're trying to finish off your class. You're trying to finish off your class and do things. So it's really hard to find that sweet spot. So there just really hasn't been a ton of info at outside linebacker, but there's starting to be some names starting to pick up. There's starting to be some names matriculate. And I think all of these guys that are mentioned could be really good additions so far. I'm going to go kind of quick through them because there's one at the end I want to talk about a little bit longer that's would be very exciting. So who's going to coach them? So there's been a couple of names come across the board. We posted them on thebarnauburn.com, I believe, yesterday. So those guys got the first chance, and I haven't really seen these names anywhere else, and there's some interesting connections here. So the first one is Nick Williams, okay? If you're wondering who Nick Williams is, he's the outside linebacker and edge coach at Syracuse, played at Georgia, okay? He's relatively new. He's coached at Colorado and Syracuse, so he's relatively, you know, just kind of starting his career, dog recruiter. I mean, this guy is killing it on the trail. Got several four stars to Colorado, and then he's got several four stars to Syracuse as well. And one of the guys he brought to Syracuse was from Georgia. So think about stealing a four star. It's hard enough to steal a four star out of Georgia if you're at Auburn. Okay, it's how exponentially harder is it to steal a four star out of Georgia that Georgia wants and get him to come all the way up to Syracuse? That's tricky. That's tricky at best. So impressive. You pull a guy like King Joseph Edwards, who's, again, a high four-star kid. You bring him up to Syracuse, and it's not one of those four stars that, like, somehow he falls through the cracks, and it's like one of those four stars nobody really wants. He's probably overrated. No, he had three sacks this year as a freshman. So edge coach number one from Georgia, played at Georgia, number two, and then number three, dog recruiter. I really like the possibility of this guy. I don't really know of any connections. I've been working on trying to figure out what that connection is to the staff, but he would be a good one. He would be a good young one that you could get to bring in. I think he would be very, very, I think he'd be very attractive on the trail. And I think he's a good coach too. I mean, clearly you had a freshman come in playing, big time college football and had three sacks in his first year. It's pretty impressive. So write that name down, Nick Williams, edge coach at Syracuse. Another Syracuse coach, which is interesting, Joe Schaefer. He's also from Syracuse. He currently coaches defensive backs at Syracuse, but here's the connection. Okay. Remember this. He coached at Texas A&M with DJ Durkin, and at Texas A&M, he coached edges. So there's your connection for Joe Schaefer. Another guy that's got it. He's got experience, and he's got that tie with DJ Durkin, which to me, if DJ Durkin wants him, I said it before, I trust him with my life. I think he's going to make the right decision. So that is something that's another name to watch. I don't know as much about his background as I do Nick Williams, but I do know there's a Durkin connection there, and that's the only background that I really need. Okay. And then Randall Joyner. Okay. Randall Joyner is the defensive line coach at Ole Miss. And I know what everybody's thinking. Hugh Freeze just loves to take folks from Ole Miss. Why are we continuing to troll Lane Kiffin? figure out something else. No, I do think Hugh takes pride in that, but this guy is a DJ Durkin guy as well. There's a DJ Durkin connection here as well. Unbelievable recruiter. And then Ole Miss had led the world in sacks this year. So if you can get Randall Joyner, any one of these three guys, I think it would be something. I think they all be really fun additions to the staff. So keep an eye out on these three names, but there's one more that this is no intel. This is just based off of the timing and how this thing works. I think the last name that we're going to talk about is someone that I don't want to say the leader in the clubhouse, but maybe the most desired. And we'll talk about that in just a second, but it's a familiar face and someone that Auburn loves and somebody that did really well at Auburn while he was here. So before we do that, guys, you need to sign up for thebarnauburn.com. You would have already had a lot of this information. $25 off for 2025. Go to thebarnauburn.com. Sign up today. Hit that message board. Have a lot of fun. Get in the mix. Get in the conversation. So check us out at thebarnauburn.com. Familiar face coming in, possibly coming in. The NFL season just finished. You had Black Monday. You had tons of firings, tons of staffs being changed over. And one in particular that I think Auburn was particularly watching was what would happen with the Jacksonville Jaguars and our former beloved coach, Jeremy Garrett. Was at Liberty with Hugh, came to Auburn, killed it on the recruiting trail, thought we had great defensive line play last year, and then he decides to make the jump to the NFL, and then the Jaguars' whole staff gets canned. I think if Hugh could pick the guy to come back to the staff, it would be Jeremy Garrett. I think he's 100% Hugh's top candidate. So now that the season has ended, that possibility ramps up. Those conversations can ramp up. Okay. So I think if I've kind of watched the way this thing's played out, it's been real quiet elsewhere. And then this one, all of a sudden, the season's over, the staff's let go. Now, I would imagine the conversations are going to heat up with Jeremy Garrett to figure out if you can get him back to Auburn. Him plus Vontrell King-Williams on the recruiting trail is a showstopper, game changer. Okay, it's hard to beat that. That's a 1-2 punch that nobody wants a piece of. Those guys are dogs on the trail, and they're really good coaches as well. And you get them to tag team the whole defensive line. NFL experience now with Jeremy Garrett. He's already got some relationships here. And it's natural because they coach together. And now they get to both, like, really coach together. Like, instead of Vontrell being that assistant where you can't work one-on-one with the players, now they get to work together on the defensive line. That excites me. That potential really, really excites me. So I think what you'll see is, let's take a big run at Jeremy Garrett, see what happens. And then if that doesn't happen, you'll start to see, I think, these names that I mentioned, maybe some additional names that will really start to pick up heat, and then they'll make a move elsewhere if the Jeremy Garrett thing just doesn't work, or if he finds another NFL job or wants to wait for an NFL job. I don't know how long we'd be willing to wait on him when you can go get some other options. We'll see what happens there. But those names, I think, are definitely names to watch. Could we pull it off and get Jeremy Garrett back? That'd be fun. That'd be fun to see. I think that would be a heck of a reuniting between those two guys, with Vontrell getting all the experience that he got this year, coupled with what Jeremy Garrett's learned at the NFL and what he already brings to the table. Look out. Look out, recruits, because they coming. And that would be a lot of fun. You really need to get somebody in quicker, especially right now, because it's that evaluation, that contact period where coaches can actually go visit. So you want to get that coach hired as quick as you can so he can go out and sort of make himself known, especially to some of the top guys you're looking at in the 2026 and 2027 classes, so you can go ahead and introduce yourself to them or reintroduce yourself to them if it's Jeremy Garrett. So that would be – I think that's pretty vital right now. That as a matter of fact, the more I think about timelines, this makes the most sense to wait until at least now. There's no reason to push until like right now to go get those guys. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, see if Auburn can pull it off. I know they want to go ahead probably and get that thing done and move forward and get prepared for spring. So let's see what happens with Damon Wilson. Let's see when he officially enters the portal, how quick does he get a visit? How does that affect the edge room in spring? What are the different possibilities, different lineups you can look up, you can look at whenever he's out there? And we'll see a lot about how that shakes out in spring. And then let's see what happens at edge coach. I think, you know, both of these will be winding down here shortly. So, guys, another great show, another great Tuesday. Tons of fun. Thank y'all for listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. Subscribe to thebarnauburn.com, dadgummit. Get on there and have some fun. Get in the mix. We might argue. We might love each other. But no matter what, we're going to have fun. So a lot of fun characters on there as well. So check us out. And then this is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening. And drive home safely.